Delighted to welcome Kieran O'Malley. He's a Galway man. He's in the hospitality business, but he's also a blogger. And Kieran, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Bobby.
Now, tell us essentially what a blogger does first, Kieran, and then maybe we might talk about the do's and don'ts therein.
Well, I suppose basic blogging would be talking about areas that are of particular interest to yourself. So, for example, me personally, I talk about male grooming, fashion and lifestyle things. There's a lot of, obviously, makeup artists and female fashion bloggers that are very well known at the moment. So it's talking about stuff that you're interested in personally. Most of us would have our own mini websites, saying our websites, that you would write reviews of products, services and things like that. And then, of course, social media is an incredibly important and powerful platform for bloggers. So Instagram at the moment in particular, but Facebook obviously as well, Twitter, all these have been used by bloggers to get their message out there so that people see what they're up to and can find out about the products, services that they're trying, in the hope then that companies will come to you and ask you to review more products and services and therefore driving your traction.
Let's be straight about this. There would be, I suppose, a discomfort from some that bloggers, again, reputation is earned, that maybe some bloggers are promoting things that they don't believe in, are being paid, and we don't know they're being paid. But what are the ethics around being a credible blogger?
Well, it's a very good point, and it is in a funny place, because especially when you start out, you're trying to build a following, to build a brand, and it's kind of hard to say no to products or services that you don't genuinely believe in. But at the same time, if you're getting sent something, you know, you want to have content, you want to be seen to be working with brands. So sometimes it can be hard for people to say no. But you have to look at the bigger picture, and is this going to help you in the long run? Like, you know, I'm not going to be trying certain products that, you know, say, for example, you don't drink, you're not going to be promoting a champagne brand if everyone knows you don't drink, because in the long run, it's going to ruin your credibility. So it can be difficult, but sometimes you have to say, bigger picture, blue sky thinking, step back and go, no, this isn't going to work for me. If I say no to one or two of these, maybe ones that are more suitable are going to come to me down the line. So like it is tough, but at the same time, I think people need to be, it's like any business, you need to believe in yourself and to be consistent. And then, you know, generally I've seen that people will end up working with brands that they're interested in if they keep plowing along in their own genuine way.
What about damage limitation? In other words, if a guy who's promoting, quit smoking products is photographed smoking a cigarette, that's not you, but that's maybe somebody in your profession or somebody in the same space. Does that have a negative impact on what you actually do?
Well, it does, and like people do generalize a lot, and I know there was actually a high profile case of that recently, and like that guy did make a mistake, and ultimately he held his hands up, which is, you know, what you want. We all do make mistakes, but people are tarring all bloggers, you know, they're all frauds, they're all this, they're all that, when there are charlatans in every walk of life and in every industry. But in my experience, and I've dealt with a huge amount of bloggers, both professionally and through the blogging world, you know, most of them are really genuine, and they're just, it's a hobby at the end of the day. My first hobby and passion is football. After that, I started blogging, and I've got incredible amount of enjoyment and fulfillment out of this. So it's a hobby. It's something that, you know, I chose to share with people.
Okay, let's look about the rules. So if you're driving, as I believe you do, a Renault car, and you put out a tweet of yourself when you're sitting in a car park, what are your obligations in relation to telling people that that car is sponsored by Renault?
So the current regulations, you would have to have the hashtag brand ambassador, or there's other hashtags then, depending on the type of sponsorship, the type of relationship you have. So there's ad, there's sponsorship, there's hashtag spawn. But you have to be able to make it clear. You can't have it too small or hidden away. So it has to be clearly visible on any of your stories. So Instagram stories are incredibly popular at the moment. And it has to be, that hashtag has to be clearly visible on the story.
And if it's not, who's the policeman in this area?
Well, see, the ASAI are policing it at the moment, but they're a relatively small body. What happens is that bloggers are reported by members of the public. So people are able to go on and report this, and then they can, it can be researched and found out. So it is up to the members of the public, and that's kind of how it's working at the moment. I suppose every industry was lawless at the start, and there has to be kind of rules and regulations brought in, and that's what's happening at the moment. And I, for one, think it's a great thing. It's going to make it more professional and better to work with from a business point of view.
What about some things that the consumer may not know, such as that you could buy 10,000 followers for 40 euro?
Yeah, I think it's very disappointing. And I won't say it's common, but you do see it happening every now and again. In the past, there was applications where you could go on and research, and you could see that, you could see a graph of how many followers people had. So therefore, it was easy to see. It was easy to see if they were buying followers. It is. There's no benefit really to the company. They're cheating out the sponsors, they're cheating the followers by pretending that they're much bigger. But things like interaction, you will see. So if someone has 30,000 followers and they're only getting 100 likes, then you know that there's something wrong there and they're not getting the same engagement. So I often say, you have to be true to yourself, but if you have a smaller following, it can be far more engaged than the percentage of interactions on huge bloggers or influencers in the world isn't the same.
Okay. And what about somebody, maybe again, and I don't mean to be all negative about this, but what about somebody editing photos or photoshopping stuff in to look, to enhance it again above what it actually is?
Well, I think it's important to put up as good a photograph as you can, but it has to be true to reality. So you can whiten a shirt a small bit, or you can put a nice vignette or a filter on it. But if you're talking about you're losing weight and you crop yourself to make yourself look like you've lost a couple of stone when that's not the reality, then that's not fair. If you're promoting a fake tan brand, people are becoming a lot cleverer to this. So there's a lot of photos I see at the moment where people are talking about the tan, and it appears that the tan also works on the floorboards in their house because the background is completely changed as well. So customers are becoming much more savvy to this. But I think bloggers are fantastic at making a photo look as good as possible. It's a skill. It's something that businesses can learn and develop from. No business is going to put up a crap photo. McDonald's aren't going to put up a terrible picture of a burger. Just one snap, put it up. You're going to have to make sure that it looks the best it can. And bloggers do that. I totally agree with it, making it look the best it can, but it has to be a true representation. It cannot be completely... there are apps out there like Facetune where you can genuinely take stones off people. You can change their appearance totally. And that's in the long run, that's not benefiting you either, because I've seen some bloggers think they're incredible online, and then when you meet them, it looks like a totally different person. But I mean, at the end of the day, people do that on Tinder and a lot of different applications and a lot of different walks in life as well.
And just finally then, Kieran, are we seeing, I suppose, almost a self-regulation here, that the spoofers are being found out, the people who have, are putting up things that aren't true, that eventually, time and reputation catch up with them and good bloggers thrive and maybe earn a good living out of it?
Yeah, I think it's moving to that point. There was a very well-known Instagram page set up in the last few months called Bloggers Unveiled, and that has brought an awful lot of attention to some of the notorious activity that bloggers will be getting up to. So I think some of them have learned the errors of the way. People are hugely interested in this, so it does show the interest in bloggers, but at the same time, there is going to be a clear out. A lot of people, it is a hobby, but it is kind of time consuming and difficult. So I think it's going to get to a point where the people are going to be much more professional, they're going to be a higher standard, and they're going to be held to a higher standard. So therefore, they're going to be rewarded when they're able to achieve this and bring a level of professionalism to it. So I think it's moving to a level where there's going to be a lot less bloggers, but they're going to be a much higher standard and therefore of more benefit to business. So I think it's going to be a win-win situation. There will be still some hobby bloggers, but I think down the line, it's going to be a lot more professional and a lot more successful bloggers in the country.
Kieran O'Malley, the Galway player, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure, as always.